This is Charles Wright with the International News Network. I'm following is a taped interview I did with Sir Jason Winters. His experiences and messages of health offer hope for overcoming illness and regaining control of your life. Sir Jason Winters was diagnosed with terminal cancer and given just 3 months to live. Refusing major surgery and finding little success with conventional treatments, Sir Jason traveled the world in search of an alternative remedy. After experimenting with several herbs and finding no positive results, he mixed some of the herbs together in a last-ditch effort. To his surprise, he immediately noticed a change for the better and was on the road to a full recovery. Do you feel that you have lost the most precious gift in your life, your good health? The key to regaining your health may lie in Sir Jason Winters' extraordinary discoveries. Hi, I'm Charles Wright with INN Network. I'm here today with Sir Jason Winters, who's going to share his amazing life story. Hi, Sir Jason. Can you tell me what's going on? You were to die 19 years ago.
Well, it's true, yes. I was supposed to die 19 years ago. I had a swelling on the side of my neck, the size of a grapefruit, and I went to the doctors, and he said he had to operate and give me a biopsy to find out if it was cancerous. And
really?
They cut me from the top of my head down to my Adam's apple, sewed me up very quickly, because not only was it cancerous, but I had a giant tumor wrapped around my carotid artery and jugular vein.
My God.
And they were going to have to do horrendous things, but first of all, they wanted to try about 70 shots of cobalt radiation. And so I went into the hospital every day, and I had the cobalt shots, 3 shots a day.
You're kidding.
And I had more shots on my face of cobalt radiation than anyone else. I went down from 250 pounds to 140 pounds. I lost all of my hair on that side. My face was turning black. I couldn't make saliva. And at the end of that time, they said to me, "It didn't work. I'm sorry, but if you want to come in a couple of days' time into the hospital again, we'll completely remove your tongue, your jawbone, your voice box." and I said, "My God, will I live any longer if you do that?" And they said, "No, but you will have an easier death." And I said, "But I'm an actor. How will I look without a jawbone and a tongue?" And they said, "Don't worry, no one will see you." And so in absolute terror, I said no to the operation, and I went home, and I climbed into bed, and I prepared to die. I had 5 little kids at that time, and hardly any money, really. And gosh, I was absolutely in terror.
So what'd you do then?
I started reading religious books. I found out that there's no atheists on the front line. As soon as a doctor looks you in the face and says, "Hey, you're going to die," you start praying to some god or another. And so I started reading the Bible, and I was amazed to find out that it mentions in the Bible 27 times to use herbs for medicine. And then it mentions the blood of Christ, life is in the blood, purify your blood with herbs, all things fall away. And then I read where Buddha had told the Indian people 2,500 years ago to use herbaline, a special herb that grows in India, for their tumors. And, you know, I had no idea that they had cancer 2,500 years ago.
Neither did I. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then I remembered laying there in terror, taking Valium every day so I wouldn't break down and cry and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered that when we were making movies in old Tucson, Arizona, with Audie Murphy and Patricia Crowley, we used to hire a lot of Indians and Mexicans to attack the wagon trains. And Audie Murphy and I would always win, regardless of how many thousands of Indians there were.
Is that right?
Yeah. But come coffee break time, all the sophisticated white people would get to one side, all the actors and directors and so on, and we'd have jelly donuts, black coffee, big cigars. And the Indians and Mexicans would get to one side, and they would cut down a cactus about a quarter of a mile away from us. They cut down a cactus, and they'd make a tea of this, and they'd drink it.
Is that right?
Yeah. And, you know, I remember walking over to them one day and saying, "Why on earth do you guys drink this putrid stuff when you can come over here and have coffee and so on?" And this Indian man said to me, "It's because we purify our blood on a daily basis. That is why we don't have so much arthritis and all this kind of thing."
I'll be darned.
And laying in bed, I remembered that from many years before, and it was just phenomenal. I suddenly started having a glimmer of hope. If all of these Bibles, all the religions, Jesus, Buddha, Baha'u'llah, Krishna, and Hippocrates said use herbs for medicine, why shouldn't I? And so we got on the phone and we located the herbaline that Buddha spoke about. I was told that it was the most powerful herb of all.
Wow.
For blood purification. Mm-hmm. And we located it in Singapore. There wasn't any available in North America and Europe. And so we got special permission from an airline. I had to get special permission because I had a little, my neck was bandaged, and I had a little pump putting water in my mouth because I couldn't make saliva.
They actually let you on the airlines in this condition.
Yes, they did.
Amazing.
I had to sign a special release that if I died or something, it wouldn't be their responsibility. And I honestly expected to die. And we went to Singapore. We checked into the Mandarin Hotel, my two sons, one under each arm to support me.
Mm-hmm.
We went down to Water Street in Singapore where an old lady was boiling all these herbaline leaves into a kind of a liquid that she would sell for $127 a pint. And we bought a pint of this, and she looked at me and she said, you know, this works. This will work for you. And my heart was singing. I went home to the hotel so happy, and I started making this stuff three times a day, as she instructed,
okay.
making a tea. In a few days' time, I was worse than ever before. And so we went back to see her, and I said, this isn't working. And she laughed and said, well, it usually does, and turned her back on me.
You're kidding.
And for some strange reason, I bought another pint of the stuff. Very expensive, $127.
Well, what happened this time? You got another pint, then what happened?
I got another pint. We went back to the hotel. We got permission from the airlines again, and we decided to take this pint and a half that was left and go to Tucson, Arizona, to talk to the Indians about this blood purification that they've done for 10,000 years.
Is that right?
Yeah, and we went to the Tucson, and I spoke to some Indians and some herbalists, and we stayed at the Santa Rita Hotel, a very deluxe hotel. The Indians told us that it was a chaparral and sage that I should use.
Okay.
So here in this deluxe five-star hotel, I was cooking up this tea. I'd make one pot of herbaline and then one pot of chaparral and sage, and the manager came up and said, what on earth are you doing? I said, why? He said, you're smelling up the whole hotel from the first floor to the fifth floor. We can smell this.
Uh-oh. What did he do then?
I told him what I was doing, and because I looked so horrendous, he let me stay.
Okay.
And I just opened the windows all the time, you know. But that didn't work either. And I went to see an English doctor in Tucson, and he said to me, look, you're English and so am I. I want to tell you the truth. Go back to England, because in England, it's always good to go home and die anyway, he said. But in England, they're more open to alternative therapies. He said, don't you know, even the Queen and the royal family have herbalists and so on. And so maybe you'll get help there. And so
did you go to England then?
Yeah, we got
a
first miracle happened to me. I owed American Express thousands of dollars, and we were running short of money.
How'd you take care of that then?
I went to the airport and I presented my card, and they accepted it, and they gave us three tickets to go to England.
Darn.
And I think that's a miracle from American Express.
You bet it is.
But we got there, checked into this very, very inexpensive hotel, and for some reason or other, I called the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now, the Archbishop of Canterbury is equivalent to the Pope in the Catholic religion, you know.
Okay.
Very prestigious. You call him your Excellency. You can never get a hold of him.
But you were actually able to get in and see this guy.
No, I didn't even. I called him on the phone, and my second miracle happened. He picked up the phone.
No
way. For some reason, his 20 secretaries and everything were doing something, and he picked up the phone. I said, I'm terribly sorry to bother you, but I'm dying, Your Excellency. Could you tell me what herb it is referred to so many times in the Bible? for purifying the blood, and where it says purify your blood and all things fall away. He said, well, I'll get back to you. I said, please don't take too long.
And did he call you back?
He called me back the next day.
What did he tell you then?
He told me that he had talked to all the other people in his office. They figured that it was red clover.
Really?
Red clover has been used in Europe for centuries, even before ancient Rome, evidently. And he said that's what it was. So now we went out and we got red clover, and I was making three lots of tea. Nothing was working.
The three lots of tea being the red clover, the herbaline, and the Tucson chaparral.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was worse, and so I paid a visit to the local hospital. I was sitting on the end of a bed, and they gave me no hope whatsoever.
Okay, we're back in America now.
No, still in England.
Oh, you're still in England.
Yeah.
Okay.
They told me no chance.
You're preparing to die in England at this
yeah.
point.
Oh, yeah, I was home where I belonged. And Prince Charles at that time was visiting a man named Mr. Muggeridge, who was dying in one of the beds of
mm-hmm.
cancer.
Uh-huh.
I was an outpatient. I was just sitting on the end of the bed. He spoke to his friend, and then he came over and looked at my chart. And Prince Charles put his hand on my shoulder and said, don't worry, Mr. Winters. Only God can tell you when you're going to die.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's marvelous, you know. And I went home, and the next morning was Wednesday, and my third miracle happened. Wednesday morning at 5 to 10, I thought, I cannot mix all these teas one after another all day long. I'm sick, and I'm going to mix them together.
You mixed them together now?
Yes.
This is the third miracle.
Yeah, the third. It's amazing.
What happened?
I took one sip of this stuff, and I kind of remembered the taste, even though it was impossible.
Yeah.
I was to find out later that no one else had ever mixed these together.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You're
so,
the first.
So I drank this stuff, and all thoughts of death left me. And when the nurse and my two sons came home a few hours later,
yeah.
they looked at me and they all cried because they could see something had happened. Even though I was underweight, bandages, something had happened.
This is after the first time you mix it all together.
Yeah.
From the very first time.
And because no one could tell me how much or how little to drink, I drank a gallon a day with terrific excitement. I was urinating constantly, drinking this stuff a gallon a day. In 9 weeks' time, we came back home. I went to the cancer clinic, and they could not find one thing wrong with me. And I have the medical report saying, astounding.
And this is just because you mixed them together instead of taking them separately, because
yeah.
you're too weak to mix them up.
Right, just by accident.
So did you find out what mixing them together did?
A wonderful thing happened to me. It was in all the newspapers. Dr. Ian Pierce, England's top oncologist, called me and said, I've read about you in the paper. Can I come over and take a look at you?
Okay.
I said, sure. He came over, took blood, examined me, couldn't find one thing wrong. And he said, I've got to have some of this concoction, these herbs, to test in my laboratory.
Okay. Did you give him some then?
Yeah, I gave him a few pounds of the stuff.
Oh, okay.
By this time, I was importing it, you know.
All right.
And I gave him some. He took it to the laboratory. A few days later, called me. I've got terrible news, Jason.
Uh-oh.
I said, what? He said, these herbs didn't cure any illness whatsoever.
You're kidding.
I said, but I'm well. What do you mean? He said, they didn't cure any illness. He said, all they did is purify your blood so your body healed itself. He said, you were the first person in the world to mix the three herbs from the three continents together. And in biblical times, any one of those herbs would and did work. But now our blood is so polluted, it took the combined efforts of the three herbs mentioned by three prophets together
to heal. Oh, my God. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And this oncologist actually said to me, the trouble with you and everyone else in the rest of the world, you think God threw us down here and said, hey, there's 10,000 fast food restaurants, there's pollution in the air, pollution in the water, have a good time. That's not what he did. Jason, he gave us an immune system. And if your blood is pure, your immune system can help your body heal itself.
So let me get this straight. You mixed the herbs together, and he's now telling you that it didn't cure you, but it cleansed your body in such a way that allowed your immune system to work at its maximum efficiency.
Yes.
And that's what cured you.
And that's what he said Jesus meant by purify your blood and all things fall away.
God bless.
And I got such publicity. My God, 62 million people around the world, 19 years later, are using this. We've got awards.
Is that right?
We've got awards from seven governments.
Tell me about these awards. You have several.
Could I regress a minute, though? I want to tell you something very important. Dr. Ian Pierce said that his scientists in the laboratory found something astounding. He said, all over the world, red clover is known as a blood purifier, and so is chaparral and sage. But he said, when you mixed it, Jason, with the herbaline that Buddha spoke about,
okay,
the herbaline acted as a catalyst, made the other two 27 times stronger.
I'll be darned.
He said to me, how on earth did Buddha know about catalysts 2,500 years ago?
That's amazing.
And then all heck broke loose. As you know, we've been on sightings, Voice
right.
of America, mm-hmm. Where Prince Charles writes to us all the time. As a matter of fact, Prince Charles has been working so hard to get alternative therapies available in hospitals in England, and after 9 years of trying, he sent me a letter the other day saying he is successful. Now Englishmen can go into a hospital and get any kind of treatment they want.
That is awesome.
He also told me that seeing as my story was so astounding, step out into the world and be a peacemaker. Don't be like other alternative therapy people, hating doctors and hospitals. He said, we need hospitals, we need doctors. He said, go forward in love, get everyone to work together for the benefit of mankind. And that's what I'm doing right now.
And you're doing just that. And for that, you've been praised with several awards. Tell me about some of these awards that you have received through your efforts.
The most astounding one was the two doctors. One was Dr. Sir Hank Oswald that came to visit me and said, has this worked for anyone else? And we showed him over 80,000 letters.
80,000 letters?
From people that, just saying thank you, you know.
Oh.
He was astounded. He said nothing like this has ever happened before. And about 3 weeks later, we got first-class tickets to fly to Malta, where he had nominated me to be knighted in Malta. And I went over there to a remarkable ceremony with doctors and some of the leaders from all over the world, and they were there to see me knighted.
Oh, this is awesome.
I got an award from the government over there and come back here, and suddenly, because the sir is in front of my name now, everyone listens to me, and it's wonderful. And then, of course, we were awarded by the United States Congress, the only people in the alternative health field to be awarded by governments, and we have been awarded by seven different governments.
Is that right?
Yeah.
For your work on it. Well, God bless. That's the, now, you wrote a book on your experiences here.
Yes.
And you've sold, what, over 13 million copies so far?
Isn't that amazing? Yes, and I get 25 cents a copy.
Is that right?
Royalty, but 13 million copies in nine languages. It started
nine languages.
The first book was printed in China, in the Mandarin language, and then it went to Cantonese, and it sold 6 million in China. It's still selling there today.
And people can get this book by just calling in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think the amazing thing that people don't realize about herbs, and I found out about this, and it's astounding, there are 5.5 billion people in the world, 4.5 billion of them believe in herbs. At any given time, there are 200 scientists in the rainforests of the world looking for herbs for medicine, paid for completely by drug companies. And 150 of the top prescription medicine in the world today, especially in America, come from herbs.
You're kidding.
So, but the most astounding and exciting thing to ever happen to me in my life, a few years ago, C. Everett Koop published a paper, the United States Surgeon General,
mm-hmm.
published a paper saying antioxidants are the greatest thing in the world to fight all disease. He said it goes into the body, chases down the free radicals, and gobbles them up. He said antioxidants are the answer. They're wonderful. He sent this to every doctor in North America. He sent us the first copy. And do you know something, Mr. Wright? An amazing thing.
What happened?
When we had our tea analyzed, they found that the herb that Jesus spoke about was the best antioxidant in the world. They found that the one that Buddha spoke about was a very powerful antioxidant. And they found that the one that the American Indians and Mexicans have used for 10,000 years, very powerful antioxidants. How on earth did they know about antioxidants in those days?
I don't know. This is amazing. So what you're saying is this tea, the herbs that you've mixed together, is an antioxidant?
Yes. Well, it's the best. As a matter of fact, in Japan, we received an award from the Japanese government. Hashimoto, before he was prime minister, when he was health minister, he sent us this award. In Japan, we have cans of tea in schools for kids. They can have Coca-Cola 7-Up or a can of Jason Winter's tea. And they've made it so that it tastes good. I think you saw one of the green cans.
Yes, I did.
It's just amazing. When I go to Singapore, Lee Kuan Yew greets us. The nephew of President Ramos in the Philippines works with us.
You're kidding.
We work
with all these
people. Yes. And I always, when I get up on the stage, they say to me, what do you think of the FDA? Well, I make them madder than hell because I like the FDA. In a crazy world like this is, especially in America today, if it wasn't for the FDA, you wouldn't dare buy anything or eat anything in a restaurant or a supermarket or anything.
What, does the FDA give you some problems?
When all these alternative therapy people attack the FDA, which they think they should do, the FDA fights back. With me, I work with the FDA. I like them. I appreciate them. I'm doing what Prince Charles said, working together for the benefit of mankind.
That's great.
Because I don't attack them, for 19 years, they've left us alone. If ever they came to me and said, jump, I would say, how high? Because I'm not looking for any fights. I just want the world to come back to normalcy, to use what God gave us that's proven not only by all the religions in the world, but all the ancient people, and by me sitting here today at 66 in perfect health, and I'm still having kids.
You're telling me you're 66, and I can tell you're in perfect health, and you have kids. How old are your kids now?
The oldest kid is 44, but since this cancer thing happened, I had a divorce. It was too horrendous for my wife to put up with.
Too bad.
And I was looking in the rainforests in Cebu, in the Philippines, for herbs, for medicine. Sometimes the drug companies even buy them from us, you know. And I was spending the government grant on this, and I met a girl that was studying to be a nun. This is 7 years ago.
Is that right?
And she was a beautiful little girl that knew nothing about anything except the Catholic Church and herbs. And her and I in the evening would walk through the jungles and she, holding hands, and she would say, this herb is for constipation. This one is to stop internal bleeding. This one is to grow hair. This one is for arthritis. As we walked through the jungle, and it occurred to me, this girl knew more than I did. And one thing led to another. She's 38 and I'm 66, but we ended up getting married, and she takes good care of me, and I was in Brussels. If you want to hear this story, Mr. Wright.
Absolutely. We want to hear. We want to know what's going on in Sir Jason's life today.
Okay, well, I was in Brussels, and they were talking about a formula called the Golden Lion formula in India. And evidently a man 6'6" tall walked into a town in India, a small town in India, in the year 1066. And he was leading donkeys, and the donkeys were heavy laden with what turned out to be herbs and seeds. And everyone gathered around him because they had never seen anything like him. In India, in that particular place anyway, all of them, they're 5 feet tall, 100 pounds, and here this giant of a man, long blonde hair, arrived. He stayed in the town with them for 12 years. He became their spiritual leader. He would talk to them every day about princes and kings in far-off countries. he planted all these herbs that he had brought with him, and he said that that's what made him so big and strong and powerful. He was 60 when he arrived, and he used to use these herbs every day in his diet. He disappeared from that town with his donkeys. He just left without saying goodbye after 12 years, and they found that he had left behind him 18 children.
You're
by,
kidding.
By different mothers, and he was 60 when he arrived. The legend starts off again in a town in China, hundreds of miles away, where he arrived in the year 1096 or something, and left 17 children behind. Anyway, I go to China, as you know, and then on to Bombay, India all the time. So I told everyone, when I go to Bombay, I'm going to check this out. And I went there on other business, and I located the town. I went. The herbs are still growing to this day. They still grow those herbs to
in
this
Bombay.
Day.
Now, is this the guy that you met outside the radio station in Bombay?
No, this is a different one.
Tell me about that. When you were in Bombay, well, you were doing an interview, and you met this man outside the...
Let me tell you, though, I started using those herbs myself. And in 9 months, my wife and I had a son. And I was still using those herbs. In 9 months, I had another son. We sent those herbs planted in India to Dr. Ian Pierce, and he said, my God, this is astounding. Everything is in that this man was taking is for the male sex drive, the prostate gland, urinary tract, sperm, manufacture of sperm. All of that, how did he know that 900 years ago, too?
That's amazing.
So now I've got two kids, and the doctor said, for God's sake, don't take any more. You don't need any more kids at your age. And it's true, you know.
So you have two young children now as well.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
That's great.
Yeah.
Tell me about the man that you met outside the Bombay radio station.
Well, I was doing this radio show, and many people in India can speak English, you know.
Yes.
And the man was taking call-ins. People were calling and asking me questions. And a man called in and said that his friend was dying. Would I go to see him? And I answered over the air, no, I'm not a doctor. I certainly won't do that. And he pleaded with me, I know you're not a doctor, but he is a good friend of mine. He loves listening to your radio shows. So I said no. And when I left the radio station, the man was outside anyway waiting for me. And so I said, okay, I'll come with you. We got into the limousine, and he directed my driver. There, it's a very poverty-stricken. And this man, old man that was dying, was living in a refrigerator carton, cardboard carton that had been straightened out and leaning up against a wall. And he had a rug on. There's a picture of him in my book, you know. And I went in there, and I held his hand, and he said, oh, thank God for coming, thank God. And every time he had a sharp pain while I was talking to him, he would squeeze my hand. And because I had been there too, on the verge of death, tears had come down my cheeks. And he looked at me, and he got furious at me. He said, are you crying for me, my son? And I said, yes, because I know what you're going through. He said, don't you ever cry for me. He said, let me tell you something, Jason. In a million years' time, on the furthest planet that you can imagine, you will be walking down a country road, someone will be walking towards you, and as you get close, you will look in his eyes and you will think, we've met before, and that's when you and I will meet again.
Is that right?
And he died, and they pried his hand for mine,
oh my God.
On the way back in the limousine to the hotel, the Taj Mahal Hotel, I thought, God, I had gone all that way to comfort him in his last few minutes, and yet he ended up comforting me. And it's great, and I hope one day it comes true, you know.
That is great. Did the famed author Ruth Montgomery's book about you cause an uproar in your life?
Yes, it certainly did.
Tell us about that. What happened?
She wanted to meet with me after reading my story and hearing it on television and she was writing a book called Threshold Among Us.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry, Threshold to Tomorrow. And she devoted the first chapter to me after spending a couple of days. And she said that when I was on the operating room table, I was so terrified that my spirit left and another spirit came in one that was Indian, one that was a doctor and a herbalist, and that's where all the knowledge came from. That is why she said, after the operation, everything about me changed. And it's true, I mentioned my wife divorced me. I was a stranger. My wife went on television and said, this man is not the man I married, it's an entirely different person. My sister up in Canada said, I don't know where he got the knowledge, the information. When I got out of the operation, every kind of food that I had liked before, English food I did not like. I liked hot, spicy curry, Indian food.
Mm-hmm.
the clothes I wore changed completely. The colors were different. Everything about me was different. And my sons, Raymond and Robin, on many television stations around the world have said that he was a different man. Fortunately, they still like me. But no one knows where the knowledge comes from. And since that time, I have managed to come up with a dozen products that are so good that thousands of letters are coming in all the time, available for anyone to read. I never believe in saying anything that isn't documented and can't be proved. What a wonderful, refreshing thing in this day and age. You know?
Sir Jason, this is an absolute amazing story. I think everybody's going to want to know, what are your plans for the future now?
Well, let's see. I fly down to Phoenix in a few days to give lectures, and then I go to China and Malaysia in November. And
giving lectures over there too?
Yes. There is a big study going on now in England with certain doctors to try and find out why a man that is 66 and should have died 19, 20 years ago, why he is so strong and healthy and looks 20 years younger than he did 20 years ago. I haven't had one illness, one problem. And I just keep on getting younger all the time. And the doctor that gave me a complete examination the other day before I went, I'm going to Tibet as well, she said all I have to do is stand up on the stage and say, I was born in 1930 and people will be awestruck.
Well, I think they're going to be absolutely right, because I believe anybody that listens to your story and reads your book is going to absolutely benefit from this. Sir Jason, I want to thank you for stopping by here today.
God bless you, Mr. White.
Have a healthy and prosperous life.
Thank you.